Hello, this is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, September 18th, 2025. At the top of the front page, we have Deputy Chief Named, Two Promotions Made for Watseka Police Department by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Lieutenant Mark Harris was approved as Deputy Chief of the Watseka Police Department, and two other officers were promoted in a special called meeting of the Watseka City Council September 11th. The promotions went into effect September 12th. The council also observed a moment of silence for Patriot Day at the start of the meeting. Officer Michael Yates was sworn in by Police Commission member Don Turkany. Chief Eric Starkey talked about Marcotte. Detective Sergeant Curtis Marcotte, on Thursday, September 11, 2025, you will be promoted to the rank of lieutenant with the Watseka Police Department. As lieutenant, you will continue to oversee the Investigations Division. Additionally, you will work closely with Deputy Chief Harris to monitor and ensure the efficient operation of the patrol division, Starkey read from a letter. Just 3 months as Chief of Police, your commitment to this department, the City of Watseka, and its citizens is obvious. Your willingness to do whatever is required, regardless of when or where, has made my transition as chief an easy one. For a department of our size to function effectively, it requires everyone, especially those at the top, to wear many hats, make many sacrifices, and sometimes do things that go unrewarded and/or unrecognized. Your promotion to lieutenant is undeniably a result of your readiness, willingness, and proven ability to do each of these things. I look forward to working together to make the Watseka Police Department a pillar of this community, a department that is respected by the people we serve, a department that is well-educated, trained, and equipped to perform the duties of what is arguably the most noble profession this world knows, and, lastly, a department that we can both be proud of to call our own. Congratulations on this well-deserved honor. I have no doubt that your service in this role will be nothing short of admirable. The oath was given to Marcotte by Turkany, and Marcotte's family took part in the promotion ceremony. Starkey then spoke about Harris just before he was sworn in as deputy chief. The motion to make the appointment was approved by the council 6-0 with Alderman Mike Garfield and Alderman Terry Pence absent. Lieutenant Mark Harris, on Thursday, September 11, 2025, you will be appointed Deputy Chief of Police with the Watseka Police Department. As Deputy Chief, you will be responsible for overseeing the individual divisions within the Police Department, ensuring that each operates efficiently and in alignment with the Department's strategic objectives for the enhancement of public safety in our community. Since beginning my tenure as Chief of Police, you have demonstrated an open-mindedness to my vision for the department. Furthermore, you have shown a willingness to go above and beyond in the performance of your duties, whether it be covering shifts or attending trainings that will allow you to assist other divisions within the department. Together, in just a few short months, we have undoubtedly begun to establish a new standard of excellence, both for our officers individually and the department collectively. The future of the Watseka Police Department is as promising as it has ever been. I am committed to not only making this an attractive destination for applicants, but to also creating an environment and providing opportunities to help develop and retain officers that are well-trained, competent, and held in high regard. This process starts with establishing a strong command staff that is capable, committed, and respected. Congratulations on your appointment to Deputy Chief of Police. I look forward to working together to make the Watseka Police Department a place that we can both be proud to call our own. Mayor Benny Mossier administered the oath of office to Harris, and Harris's wife, Nicole, took part in the promotion ceremony. CUSD number 249, Board of Ed approves budget, hires van driver. By Kim Raby for the Times Republic. The Board of Education of Crescent Iroquois CUSD number 249 met Monday, September 15th in the boardroom of Crescent City Grade School. A budget hearing took place prior to the regular meeting. Present for the hearing were members Steve Massey, Mallory Redeker, Aaron Hamilton, Becky Dirks, Candy Butzo, Tim Coleman, and Lee Medina. Also present was Superintendent Principal Lucas Schroeder. As there was no public input on the budget, that meeting adjourned. The regular meeting was called to order at 6 p.m. by President Massey, with all members present in addition to Schroeder. Austin Gooden, PE and Specials teacher, thanked board members for giving him the opportunity to teach at CCGS. For non-action items, the board was reminded the October meeting will take place the fourth Monday of the month, which will be October 27th. The Finance Committee had met prior to the regular meeting, as did the Building and Grounds Committee. Schroeder presented the superintendent's report. He told of a maintenance grant that would help get the windows of the classrooms replaced. The windows aren't in great shape once the window air conditioning units were removed, and this project is probably one of the last major projects for the school. In regards to financials, Schroeder said becoming part of SIPC puts the district in a purchasing co-op, which can mean savings on the school. Essentials, such as paper towels, toilet paper, etc. He told members of the Milkweed Wind Project, which could mean an increase in tax revenues if it is approved. For the principal's report, enrollment was listed at 51 students in grades K through 5 and 49 students in grades 6 through 12. The annual walkathon will take place this Friday, September 19th at CCGS. The end of the first quarter is October 10th. School will not be in session Friday, October 10th, which will serve as a Teacher Institute Day, or Monday, October 13th, which is Columbus Day. Parent-teacher conferences will take place October 21st and 23rd. Consent agenda items were then approved, and those were minutes of the regular meeting conducted August 18th, a treasurer's report dated August 31st, the payment of bills dated September 15th, the impressed fund and petty cash reports of August 31st, leaving closed minutes closed, destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months, 4 Freedom of Information Act requests, and the appointment of Heather Girth as Department of Children and Family Services liaison. The board then approved the budget for fiscal year 26, a donation from the Arthur and Gesena Griffin Trust for the CCGS library and vending machine, the bullying prevention policy as presented in policy 7:180, the fiscal year 25 audit as presented by Russell Lee and Associates, and placing O&M and working cash funds into CDs at First Trust and Savings Bank, Watseka. The board adjourned into executive sessions to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. However, a meeting to consider an increase in compensation to a specific employee of the public body that is subject to the Local Government Wage Increase Transparency Act may not be closed and shall be open to the public and posted and held in accordance with the Act. Once the regular meeting reconvened, the board approved the hiring of Kimberly Myers as a van driver pending proper licensure and background check. The meeting adjourned with the next meeting set for 6 p.m. Monday, October 27th. Cruise time. Final SNS cruise of the year conducted in Watsika. The last SNS cruise of the year took place September 16th in Watsika. The annual cruises have been conducted each year month during the summer for the past few years. The event is conducted near Steak and Shake in Watsika, which is where the event gets its name. The participants meet up once a month during the summer and network before heading out on a cruise around town that includes going past the nursing facility in town. And there are a couple of pictures, one of people gathered in Ernest Grove Parkway in Watsika for the last SNS cruise of 2025 on September 16th. Then lovely picture, car, truck, and motorcycle enthusiasts took part in the last SNS cruise of the year. ICHS's Harvest Days 2025 taking shape. This is by Kim Raby for the Times Republic. Each year, Iroquois County Historical Society hosts Harvest Days on the grounds of the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watsika. As a nonprofit organization, this event is the group's largest fundraiser of the year. Proceeds will help with the winter's utility bills, in addition to assisting with updates, maintenance, and upkeep of the 150-plus-year-old building. The main events of Harvest Days take place Saturday, October 4th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Sunday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The 46th annual Harvest Days will kick off Friday, October 3rd, with a fish fry from 4 to 7 p.m. A donation-only meal will include a fish sandwich, chips, and a drink. Though slated to last until 7 p.m., the fish generally sells out quite earlier than the posted time. Saturday, October 4th starts with an opening ceremony at 9 a.m. conducted by members of American Legion Post 23. The Top 25 Car Show, which draws enthusiasts from near and far, takes place Saturday on the south side of the museum along Locust Street. To be a part of this event, contact Jason at carshowguy74@gmail.com. More than 50 vendors will be set up around the grounds both days, offering a variety of goods, including diamond art, honey, goose outfits, photography, gourds, mini pumpkins, 3D printed items, handmade one-of-a-kind clothing and accessories, crocheted plushies, charcuterie boards, leather patch hats, hot chocolate bombs, stuffed animals, etched glass, laser engraved tumblers, holiday wreaths, sports wreaths, grave blankets, homemade rugs, homemade dog treats, florals, candy bouquets, watercolor paintings, ceramics, leather items, roasted nuts, and more. Sunday's tractor show will feature some of the old farming equipment owned by local farmers. Also on Sunday, the Kitty Tractor Pull will take place at 1 p.m., with participants registering about 30 to 60 minutes before the main event. More information on this can be found by contacting Corrine Downs at 815-471-6165. Pumpkin decorating contest both days will feature the annual pumpkin decorating contest, with this year's theme set as Pumpkins on Vacation. There is no entry fee, and the form can be found at the website of Iroquois County Historic Society. Forms need to be returned to ICHS at 103 West Cherry, Watsika. For more information, call ICHS at 815-432-2215. There are four age categories, with the age as of October 1st, 2025, youth 11 years old and younger, teen 1 for 12 to 14-year-olds, teen 2, 15 to 17-year-olds, and adult 18 years of age and older. Pumpkins can be carved or painted, decorated. All entries will be considered for the special awards chosen by ICHS judges. Pick of the Patch, overall winner, and President's Award for Best Representation of the Theme. Judging is based on originality, quality of work, and ingenious use of the pumpkin. Entries will be voted on first, second, and third places by visitors to the pumpkin patch. Kids Zone will be open 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and 12 noon to 4 p.m. Sunday. Saturday's activities include making crazy Harvest Days hats, reading with a fireman, rock painting, archery, fall paper crafts, and dancing with Ollie the Owl. Sunday will feature perler bead crafts, balloon animals, and miscellaneous crafts. The judging of the coloring contest takes place Sunday. Supporting events of Kids Zone will be the Juvenile Justice Council, Jackie Lesage of the Watsika Fire Department, Brian Cheney of the Kiwanis, Scarlett Siebert of the Full Steam 4-H Club, and the Max family. Special features, activities A, petting zoo will be set up on the grounds both days, as well as food and drinks in the Red Barn and the annual Victorian Room Bake Sale. Robert Rice of the Caddy Shack will be providing and grilling pork burgers and brats for the Red Barn. A silent auction will take place both days, with the winners announced shortly before closing each day. Visitors will want to make sure they get their kettle corn each day, too. Iroquois County under immediate burn ban until further notice. Eastern Illinois Mutual Aid Fire Association, in conjunction with Iroquois County Board Chairman Paul Ducat, alerts all Iroquois County residents of a countywide burn ban that takes effect as of September 16th. The Eastern Illinois Mutual Aid Fire Association is comprised of all 21 fire departments located in Iroquois County. This burn ban was instituted by the fire chiefs of Iroquois County. According to information provided by Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Scott Anderson, the fire chiefs have the authority to issue a burn ban pursuant with Illinois state law, directing everyone to refrain from any open burning, including landscape waste, agricultural waste, household trash and garbage. Also included in this ban are any type of consumer fireworks. By law, fire departments can impose fines for violation of this burn ban and will, after warning and extinguishing these fires, impose a fine of $100. Fines will double for the second violation. This ban will be in effect until further notice. It can be like quicksand. Experts urge grain bin safety this harvest, by Phyllis Coulter for Farm Week. A pair of researchers at the University of Illinois are urging farmers to prioritize safety while working in grain bins during harvest. Some of the most frequent accidents happen when flowing grain gets stuck. Unfortunately, some farmers go inside the bin to unclog it, and the grain pulls them in. Of people pulled into under the grain, approximately 90% don't survive, said Salah Issa, University of Illinois Assistant Professor of Agricultural Engineering. Never go into a grain bin without a safety device to prevent being sucked in, said Doug Gucker, University of Illinois Commercial Educator. Never enter when the grain is moving. It can be like quicksand. It takes more effort, but you are going to come home that evening, he said, of taking precautions. In the U.S., there are between 20 and 40 grain entrapment incidents annually. Historically, 70% of grain entrapments resulted in fatalities, but in the past decade, as more firefighters have been trained to help, that percentage has fallen, Issa said. One of the most recent grain bin accidents in Illinois, August 20th, took the life of Tom Ritter, a 73-year-old farmer from Blue Mound in Macon County. While he was preparing for his 51st harvest, as previously reported in Farm Week elsewhere, a man trapped in a grain bin was successfully rescued near Nokomis in Montgomery County and airlifted to a hospital September 2nd. Illinois grain entrapment incidents fluctuate between 0 and 10 documented entrapments annually, but Issa says since this number reflects only accidents documented in news clippings, the actual number is higher. Issa says has studied thousands of cases of grain bin accidents to try to understand why people were trapped, why some don't survive, and what precautions can be taken. His research focuses on injury prevention through predictive algorithms, evaluating new technologies, and implementing those that can reduce or remove hazards. No matter how well a farmer manages his or her grain bin, there will be times when the bin gets clogged. The first step in safety is to plan ahead, he said. That might include installing a plug buster or even simple bars to break up any clogs. If one has a bin that gets clogged and has not taken any precautions, there are inexpensive options, he said. Issa is studying the use of compressed air to break up grain clumps. To use that tool, he suggests removing the auger from the flighting and replacing it with a 1-inch steel pipe to insert high-pressure compressed air to break up clumps. It's not a perfect solution. You may have to do it multiple times, but it will break the clumps that block your auger. We tried it with a farmer at his grain bin, Issa said, noting it took nearly twice as long, but was effective. It is a quick and easy, in relative terms, option for farmers. However, he cautions that compressed air can also be dangerous, where safety equipment, including an N95 or higher mask, keep the nozzle away from the handler and be aware of any sparks. The pipe could get hot, so users should wear gloves. Using a grain vacuum is another solution, but again, farmers must be careful and do it from inside the bin. It takes two people to do it safely. It's more doable when a person can open the side door. Guckett, a non-voting member of the Illinois Farm Bureau Board of Directors and president of the Illinois Extension Agricultural Association, who reports on extension activities across the state and new research at the U of I, cautions farmers to remember the grain vac is much more powerful than a shop or home vacuum and is more difficult to handle. Another important part of prevention is monitoring grain quality. Treat it like a savings account. Check on it, Gucker said. Check grain temperatures monthly. Some people have warning systems to alert them to declining grain quality, he said. Monitoring is essential as poorer grain clogs more frequently. If it's really bad, hire an external company to safely unload it, Issa said. Grain will get clogged. It will happen, even if you are taking care of the grain very well, Issa said. Having a method to break grain clumps is crucial for every farmer to consider, he added. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and the Illinois Press Association. Stories in Place, Coal and Land in Vermilion County, Danville, Illinois. Community members are invited to take part in Stories in Place, Coal and Land in Vermilion County, a one-day memory mapping and scrapbooking workshop that honors Vermilion County's connection to coal. The free event will be held on Saturday, October 4th from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Vermilion County Museum, according to information from the museum. The workshop offers a space to reflect on the past, document the present, and imagine the future of life in Vermilion County. Participants will map their memories of coal and land in Vermilion County, from family histories in the mines and plants to life on reclaimed coal lands to community transitions and visions for the future. Each participant will create 1 to 3 scrapbook pages that will become part of Vermilion County scrapbook, focused on the county's connection to coal. Participants are encouraged to bring photographs, newspaper clippings, tickets, letters, or other ephemera that connect to their stories. These materials can be scanned and copied on site to preserve originals while allowing them to be included in the scrapbook. All craft materials will be provided. This is a writing, mapping, and scrapbooking workshop. No prior experience is necessary. Just bring the stories you want to share and any items you would like to include. The workshop will be held by Jordan Woodward, postdoctoral researcher at the Humanities Research Institute of the University of Illinois and co-sponsored by the Vermilion County Museum. To sign up, please fill out a survey. Free and open to the public. However, space is limited to 25 attendees, which are accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. This workshop is an opportunity to reflect on Vermilion County's shared history and the many ways coal has shaped community life. Whether through mining and plant work, family traditions, living on reclaimed mining land, or environmental change. About the Illinois Coal Workers and Communities Listening Project, The Illinois Coal Workers and Communities Listening Project at the University of Illinois is gathering stories from coal workers, families, and communities across the state. By preserving these voices and experiences, the project aims to honor Illinois coal heritage, inform smarter policy, and help build stronger, more resilient communities. This has been Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, September 18th, 2023. Have a great day, and I look forward to reading to you again next week.